Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Today we move into 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And this continues the discussion about spiritual gifts, which began in chapter 12. Chapters 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians all address this question about spiritual gifts and is all Paul's answer to a question that the Corinthians had sent to him about spiritual gifts. They needed teaching, they needed clarification, they needed correction. And so Paul sees this as a very, very important issue, and he devotes three entire chapters to this issue in the 1 Corinthian epistle. And there are a number of things we have learned, but for example, in chapter 12, we learned that spiritual gifts are sovereignly bestowed by the Holy Spirit. They're not something that we develop. They're not something that we choose. It is something that God sovereignly bestows according to His wisdom. Furthermore, we learned in chapter 12 that spiritual gifts can be counterfeited, and therefore we must be discerning. Certainly in that first century, we could say that there was the reality of these spiritual gifts, including the miraculous ones, tongues and healings and other miracles. But we're told in that same chapter that there are counterfeit spiritual gifts that are virtually identical to the genuine ones, and therefore we need to be very discerning. We also learned that spiritual gifts demonstrate diversity within the body of Christ. Diversity within unity. Everyone will not have the same gifts. They are designed by God to differ from person to person so that when you put them all together, the ones that I have, the ones that you have, the ones that somebody else has, you have a fully functioning body with all this diversity of gifts that together make the body of Christ a very effective and fruitful organization here in this world. I pause at this time to welcome you to this Tuesday, April 19 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And I also pause to remind you that we could not do this and cannot continue to do this unless we enjoy the financial help of radio listeners just like you. Thank you so much for your consideration. So that's chapter 12 in summary. Chapter 13 is about love, and what it's basically telling us is that love is superior to all of these gifts. It's not that the gifts have no place, and they're of no importance. They certainly were in Paul's day, no question about that. But even in his day, he was quick to point out that love, a fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so forth, the ninefold fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, that love, this first evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in the life of a believer, is superior to the spiritual gifts. And therefore, to be useful, spiritual gifts must be energized by love. They must be directed by love. They must be exercised in the context of love, which is superior. And thus, in chapter 13, we have a description of love and a statement about the permanence of love. in contrast with the temporary nature of the spiritual gifts. And now we come to chapter 14, and here we're going to learn why tongues are not the greatest spiritual gift. Listen to me, why tongues are not the greatest spiritual gift. We're still talking about the subject of spiritual gifts and learning everything that we can about them as it has been revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And it's clear that in that day in Corinth, there were people that were exalting tongues as the most important of the gifts, the spiritual gifts, the one that was most desirable, the one that everybody wanted to have. And in some cases, maybe there were people who insisted that every truly spiritually minded Christian is going to have this one. Nope, says Paul. I hate to tell you this, I hate to burst your bubble, but let's deal with truth. Tongues are not the greatest spiritual gift. There are other spiritual gifts that take the precedence over tongues. And so what do we learn? Well, in verses 1 through 5, we learn about the comparison and contrast between tongues and prophecy. Chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love. That goes back to chapter 13 because it's the greatest of all of the things that are discussed. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Nothing wrong with desiring them. Nothing wrong with praying that God will endow you with the spiritual gifts that He desires you to have. So, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but listen to this, especially that you may prophesy. Pursue love with persistence. Pursue love with a never-ending action. Pursue the development of love in your life along the lines of the 15-fold description that is found of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a very convicting description indeed. So pursue love. Never stop pursuing love. After all, it's the greatest of all the other things. It's the first manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And in that list of the 9-fold fruit of the Spirit, you don't find any of these spiritual gifts. You don't find tongues and prophecy and healings and miracles. That's not said to be the fruit of the Spirit. But love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and so forth. So love is at the very beginning of that, and that's what we should be working at to develop and longing to see greater manifestations of love in our life. But we should desire spiritual gifts, to be sure. If God gave them, then they're for a purpose, and therefore we should desire to fit into the purpose that God designed them for and be a part of that purpose. So pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially, more than anything else, that you may prophesy. Desire prophecy the most among the spiritual gifts. If you're going to desire a particular spiritual gift, it shouldn't be tongues. What should it be? Prophecy. Now that, of course, takes us back to the question, now what is prophecy again? I think I've forgotten. Prophecy is the reception of and declaration of direct revelation from God. The prophet received divine revelation and imparted it to others. It was direct revelation from God, and it was inspired forthtelling of that revelation. A prophet is one who received revelation from God and, guided, guarded, energized by the Holy Spirit of God, declared that revelation unerringly. Inspired forthtelling, that is, telling forth the revelation which God gave without error, without mistakes, because it's the Spirit of God who's doing this, and God cannot lie, which tells me, if you'll think about it, that in our day, some people who claim to have the gift of prophecy and love to make predictions about the future. Have you ever seen those? I have looked at some of those lists that people have made. I don't see them as often as I used to, But it used to be not uncommon at the first of the year for someone to issue a list of things that they believed was going to happen during the course of that year. Oftentimes, this has nothing to do with Christian people and Christian prophecies. Political people would make political prophecies, though they wouldn't usually call it prophecies, but political predictions of what they said was coming to pass. And some of them were even honest enough at the end of the year to go back and say, all right, let's see how I did. Let's grade myself. I got this one right, this one wrong, this one right, this one wrong. List of 10, and maybe they'd say, I scored 60% this year. I got 6 out of 10 right, 4 out of 10 wrong. When it comes to political predictions, that's no problem. But I've also seen lists that were issued by people, Christians, who claimed to have the inspired gift of prophecy, revelation from God. God told me this. God showed this to me. This is from God. This is what God says is going to happen in the coming year. And I've seen those lists. I don't very often see them honestly evaluated at the end of the year, but sometimes somebody else, other than the so-called prophet, will pick them up at the end of the year and let's see how this person did. This person who claims to have the gift of prophecy only scored 50% or 40% or even 60%, but nearly half, in some cases more than half, of these supposedly inspired prophecies that the claim was made that God told me this, God revealed this to me, God said this was going to happen, and then it didn't. Now, I can understand that when it comes to a politician. I don't expect perfection from politicians, do you? But when it comes to the gift of prophecy, I expect perfection. If it is the true gift of prophecy, if it is indeed a revelation from God, if it is indeed inspired declaration of what God has given. Because God knows the future perfectly. God is sovereign over what he does. God always achieves what he intends to achieve. God never fails. And therefore, if prophecies about what God is going to do, what God said he was going to do not come to pass, then clearly they did not come from God, those statements, those prophecies. They are not inspired prophecies from God, and the person who declared them is no true prophet of God. In fact, the Old Testament says that if a person claims to be a prophet of God and the thing they prophesy doesn't come to pass, they're a false prophet, stone them. Stone them. You don't believe them, you stone them. They clearly lied. If what they said was a prophecy from God, but it did not come to pass, then they were obviously lying between their teeth, or else terribly deceived themselves. In either case, they're dangerous, and they have dishonored God. They have said that God told me this when God never did any such thing. But if you want to desire a really useful spiritual gift, again, in the first century in Paul's day, because I'm not convinced that the gift of prophecy is abiding to our day, but if you want a really useful spiritual gift, then desire the gift of prophecy, because what is more useful to the people of God than divine revelation? That's what everything is based upon. That's what our faith is based upon. We believe the Word of God. We believe the revelation of God. And in that day, when the New Testament scriptures were not complete, how wonderful to have prophets to declare new covenant revelation from God. Highly valuable, highly important, significant, and necessary. And that is a really useful gift. And come back tomorrow, and we'll take it up from here and go further. Thank you for joining me. May God give you his eternal peace.